It says heart conditions, but really what we're going to be looking at today is deceit and deception and the state of the world today and what we can do about it. I hope this works. I haven't tried it yet. I'm recycling a message. Some of you may remember a couple of these slides from 6 or 7 years ago when I did the same type of message before Pastor Mark was here. And I said, there's only two kinds of people in the world, as far as I'm concerned. You've got saved and lost. You've got good and bad. You've got those who believe the Bible and those who don't believe the Bible. And as we went through 6 or 7 years ago, I showed various things. I'm going to show some of them again today. But the question I had was, why is it? Why don't some people believe the Bible? Well, society's changing. Around the world, morality was declining. This is a slide from 6 years ago. We talked about how tolerance was the big thing way back when, but then they started talking about inclusiveness. I had a slide, which I didn't put in here, about how a Christian dating site, I think it was Christian Mingle or something like that, had lost a lawsuit and were required to now accept profiles from gay and lesbian people on a Christian dating site. So it was all about inclusiveness. Talked about how the church had less influence. And there were some slides I had showing how the UN was saying if you take your children to a Christian church, it's tantamount to abuse. 6 years ago. And they said that the church was becoming irrelevant. Well, I thought about that as I was preparing this. How is it now? The Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving, being deceived. That's certainly true. Let's update. Around the world, morality is declining. I think even Pastor Mark mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Is it getting better or worse? Yep, it's still declining. Earlier, tolerance was the buzzword. Then it turned to inclusiveness. Now, in many places, it's a criminal offense to misuse a pronoun or misgender someone. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We've reached the era now that I've called comply or die. Church has far less influence. In fact, a lot of churches that I'm reading about have not only joined in, but they're promoting the debauchery. John used that word just a little while ago in his reading. The debauchery of the world. We'll look at that a little bit. Society is changing. How many of you have heard of transableism? Ooh, I see a couple of heads shaking. What is transableism? It's the newest fad among what I'm going to call the deluded population. Article from Fox just a few weeks ago. From transgender to transable, people are choosing to identify as handicapped. There are people now who feel like they should be unable to walk. I read an article about one transgender man who thinks he's a woman who also thinks he's paralyzed from the waist down. So he moves around in a wheelchair and refuses to do anything because he's disabled. There are other instances. A girl in, I think it was North Carolina, wanted to identify as blind, and so she poured chemicals in her eyes to take out her eyes so she could identify as a blind person. There are doctors around the world, United States included, that are willing to amputate a limb if you want to identify as a paraplegic or whatever the case may be. The world's getting a little worse. We've all heard about the transgender thing. U.S. Navy hires active duty non-binary drag queen as a digital ambassador to recruit people into our military because they can't get enough people to join the military anymore. And so they're resorting to things like this. And that movement is only gaining power as we see in the news daily. The Bible says that there's a falling away coming. We kind of mentioned that a little bit already in the Revelation series. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm sure Mark read this verse, down in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. So, we looked at that slide 6 years ago, and we saw that there was a big protest at Ark Adventure. I know some of you out here have been to Ark Adventure, some of you several times. When they first opened, they had a huge protest out front, and this is what they said. This is an important protest, said Dave Silverman, president of the American Atheists, a national organization. This is the mass dumbing down of children at taxpayers' expense. This is one man's vision of his personal religious beliefs plus $100 million. And they're using that money to push something that's provably wrong onto our children in this country. Silverman said the Ark makes Christians and Christianity look ignorant. 6 years ago he said that. Well, what about today? Oh, I threw this slide in. 6 years ago, we weren't supposed to just accept gay marriage, but now we were supposed to accept gay clergy throughout the church. What do they say? Gay pastor says the Bible is evolving and must change to accommodate our lifestyle choices. This was already 6 years ago. What about now? Sadly, it's not just acceptance of gay marriage, but an embrace of all the perversions that result. And this is throughout the church. LGBTQIA, and I could not tell you what all those initials even stand for, but I know there's a couple more added on to that as well. Affirming pastor, and I scratched out his name because I don't want to besmirch someone, has a tremendously low view of the Bible, and because of that, he's attracting thousands to his ministry. I will just say this. This pastor has, I think it's 11 campuses in the South, and a total Sunday attendance of around 200,000 people at his church. Why is he so popular? He has welcomed, I'll just say LGB people into the church. They have conferences for them. They have workshops for parents of transgendered children to help them affirm the child's lifestyle. It disgusts me. I'm sorry if that offends someone, but that a pastor of a church would do something like that, it's just not right. That's the only thing I can say about it. Six years ago, and I'm not going to get into this too much, we said that there was a falling away and a disbelief in the Bible. And I gave two quotes. No one now, I suppose, holds that the first three chapters of Genesis, for example, gives a literal history. I could never understand how anyone reading them with open eyes would think that they did. Another quote, certainly nothing can be more unscriptural than the modern limiting of Christ bearing our sins and suffering to his death. But indeed, that's only one aspect of an almost universal heresy. Oops. Who said those two things? The two men that were responsible for translating the Greek manuscripts that are used for every modern Bible translation today. The people who translated those manuscripts weren't even believers. Why do we have disbelief in the Bible? So, society is still changing. Way back when, 10, 15 years ago, it was tolerance. And then it moved to inclusiveness. And now it's moved to what I call comply or die. How many of you remember a couple of years ago, COVID? So many things were restricted. Hospital procedures stopped. There were places you couldn't buy seeds in an open store because seeds weren't food. So they refused to let you buy seeds to plant your own garden. There were so many things that I personally thought were wrong. And so now, who I guess it is, said, oh, COVID's over. And I hear people every day in my diner talking about, boy, I'm glad that's done now. We don't have to worry about all these things. No, it's not really true. They are still wanting people to comply with whatever rules they have. Here's one, and I know that's really small. Hospital refuses to operate on sex attack victim after she requests an all-female care because she fears mixed-sex facilities are unsafe for women. I'll give you just a brief background of what's going on here. This woman had been sexually assaulted. She went to the hospital. She had to have surgery for whatever injury she had. When filling out the paperwork, she refused to write in her pronouns. She told the person that was the administrator that was doing the paperwork, she would not use pronouns that people wanted her to use. If it was a man, she was going to say he. If it was a female, she was going to say she. The next day, she got an email from the CEO of the hospital saying, hold on, I have it here. Notes. Told her the hospital did not share her beliefs and that she should make other arrangements for her surgery. Message added that the hospital was committed to protecting staff from what it described as unacceptable distress. She said the hospital would offer private room but would not facilitate her request for single-sex care after her operation. It also mentioned her comment about pronouns and said it had a responsibility to protect staff from discrimination and harassment. I don't know whatever happened to this woman. This was back in October that this took place. But COVID had nothing to do with it. She was refused service, surgery that she needed, because she would not comply. In essence, they said, do what we want or go die. Other hospitals are doing the same thing. I didn't want to take the time to go through all of those. There are other things going on. I think the stage is set now. We've been talking about the coming of the Antichrist, the rapture. I think Mark's going to be covering the rapture next week. And I'm sad because I won't be here. We'll be out of town. But restrictions are already accepted. They're commonplace now. Here's the new thing. Climate, what I call hysteria. Everything is about the climate. They're coming up with very strange, to my elderly mind, ideas. 15-minute cities. Has anyone heard of 15-minute cities? We'll talk about those. Eat your bugs. Surely you've heard about eating bugs now. There's more lockdowns ahead. Climate hysteria. Paris, Melbourne, Oxford. All of those plan on becoming 15-minute cities next year. What is that? You can go to Twitter and find that video if you want. Basically, they're dividing the city up into zones, and the zone is a 15-minute radius of whatever they pick as the center in a bus. They're going to ban vehicles. They're going to make you either walk, ride a bike, or take public transportation within that 15-mile radius or 15-minute radius. I said, well, that's pretty strange. So I started looking into it. Oxford, for example, has the plan of dividing into six zones. Coincidental number? I don't know. And they said, okay, sometimes someone will have to leave there. You can leave your zone up to 100 times in a year. And that's it. They didn't say specifically what the penalty would be if you went 101 times out of your zone. But I'm sure we'll find that out in 2024 sometime. Why? Because climate. They want to reduce cars to reduce carbon emissions to save the planet. And I say that in that way. I'm sorry if I offend somebody. We'll get to it soon. More climate hysteria. Cows. You know, there's a war on cows now also. Cows are killing Mother Earth. So, eat bugs instead. That has already started. Probably can't read that either. Dutch children fed mealworms at school as a meat alternative. Yeah. Why? Because they want to do this. You don't like eating bugs? Too bad. There's no alternative. Because also, the Dutch came up with a plan to basically take over family farms by the thousands, kick the owners off of the farm, and they put in stipulation that you can't move to another country and start farming again. They want to get rid of people who know how to raise livestock. I had to put that in there because the evil laugh is just necessary. And I wish I was saying something that it sounds like a fantasy story, but this is actually happening right now. Think that can happen only in Europe, wherever? Yeah, think again. Another small one. Our beloved city of New York has pushed for a while now plant-based eating. They're replacing two school meals a week with vegan, what they call vegan meals, whether the children want it or not. There's another article that talks about how none of the kids like the food that they're being served and they won't eat it. So they're trying to come up with a way to coerce the kids to eat this stuff. What scares me on this, I wish I had my laser pointer. Second paragraph. Along with the Mayor's Office of Climate and Environmental Justice. What the heck is an Office of Environmental and Climate Justice? Justice implies punishment. So what's going to happen with that? Now, like I said, Mayor Adams is mostly pushing plant-based food. I'm sort of okay with that. In reality, I consider every hamburger I make to be plant-based. All cows eat grass. How much more based can you get? My burgers are plant-based. I'm sorry. So I'm okay with that. And full disclosure, in case you think I am anti-bug, I have eaten mealworms, ants, crickets, grasshoppers, bumblebees, and something else in the past. When I was in high school, it was required to eat at least one insect to get a passing grade in biology. So he'd probably be sued nowadays, but back then it was okay to do stuff like that. And so he had a variety of insects, and they were, I had deep fried worms, that was it, earthworms, roasted crickets, salted grasshoppers, chocolate covered ants, and I didn't die. It's not that I really liked them, but, and just so you don't think that I'm a right-wing tyrant that wants you to not eat that stuff, I even brought in a recipe for cricket tacos with mealworm coleslaw. You can get that from me anytime, make it, eat it all you want. Let's get back to the real thing. Stage is set. Because of COVID and what went on, as far as I can tell, people are so blinded that they'll do just about anything without resistance. Have any of you seen this video? I don't know if you can tell it. Watch this. Maybe. We had some technical difficulties. I couldn't get it to play within the slideshow. Oops. Got it. Hey, got 1 sec. I'm going to run back here. Notice what he's doing. Yes. That's a guy standing in front of a store with a lint roller. And as soon as he does this, what happens? Like sheep. And he lets him in. That right there is all the proof I need that the Antichrist is going to have no problem taking over. You can go back, Slideshow. And this might take a second. For whatever reason, when I put that into slide 21, when I put that into the slides, it came out super extra wide and you couldn't even see what was going on with it. Excuse me. Sorry for the delay. While he's getting that up, I've said enough bad news. What can we do about it? Well, we know that the Son of Man is going to be revealed after this falling away. I said this 6 years ago. I stand by it today. It's always been supposed that some calamity was needed for the people of the world to accept the Antichrist. Think of all the movies. Left Behind, Thief in the Night, that whole series from the 70s. Great show, by the way. Reminds me of when I was growing up. That's the only resemblance to reality. But I suggest to you, and I added the word in here again today, that no calamity is going to be needed. People with their desperate, wicked hearts, and I added this in, and celebrated mental delusions are going to welcome him simply because he's going to promise and give them what they want. I think it's just about that simple. What does all this indicate? We've spent 15 minutes already talking about the bad stuff. Well, human beings have a heart problem. And they've had it since the fall of man. When we're done with Revelation, Mark says we're going to Genesis. Genesis 6:5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. All of the evil is coming from the heart of man. We have a heart condition. So what can we do about it? This is where it turns to the good news. But it depends on you. Go tell somebody. What are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them the good news. Well, what's that? The gospel. If you need help with what the gospel is, come talk to me, John, Mark, somebody, after the service next week. We'll be able to help you with that. We're supposed to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. The whole theme of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Go into the world, teach all men, baptizing them. The Great Commission. How do you do that, though? When you're sharing the gospel, have a dialogue. Yes, you might get something from me up here talking today, but you learn much more when you can converse with each other. They might have a question they ask. They might have a comment that you can agree with. Don't make it a lecture. When they say something, be attentive. I know so many people, I've seen so many people, I'll put it that way, that want to scream, "You're going to hell," on the street corner, and they don't want to hear a thing that the person has to say about that. It's just a lecture or a scolding. Listen to what people say when you meet them. Try chumming. Anybody know what chumming is? Somebody here from around the water. Especially when you're out in the ocean and you want to catch fish, you take a bucket of bait, we'll call it whatever, and throw it in the water to get the fish stirred up, and they're moving around, and you have a better chance of someone grabbing your hook then. It's the same thing when you're speaking to someone. Throw a spiritual question out there somewhere and see if they respond. If they do, go back up. Listen to what they say and go from there. Have that dialogue. Be prepared to tell your story. This is important. Why would you suppose when someone joins the church, we have them come up front and give their testimony? Because you need to know what your story is so that you can tell other persons. You know, reading from the gospel is good. It's necessary. I think people don't get saved without the Word of God. But telling them how Jesus changed your life, making it personal to you, it doesn't even have to be something bad. I was never a drug addict, officially. I was probably an alcoholic for a while. And after I met Jesus, I just said, you know, that was gone. It wasn't this miraculous change. It wasn't some earth-shattering whatever. But he made a change in my life. Some changes are more gradual than others. It doesn't have to be an overnight thing. But relating something that Jesus did in your life to someone else makes it more interesting to them. Talk about everybody's favorite subject. What is everybody's favorite subject? Yourself. Get them to talk about themselves. I'd love to talk about myself. Okay, not really. I'm more of an introvert, honestly. But I like to hear other people talking about themselves and learning, you know, what they did, how they did it, whatever. It's an easy way to start a conversation. So what do you, especially men, what do you do for a living? Oh, well, I blah, 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 fill in the blank. I'm an engineer. I'm whatever. They like to talk, everyone likes to talk about themselves. Stay focused. This is a very hard one. Every time I think I've shared the gospel with someone, they threw something out there. Well, what about fill in the blank? People in the jungle who have never heard of Jesus. What about whatever? There's so many, what's the word? Discrepancies in the Bible. Contradictions. There's so many contradictions in the Bible. Usually when, sometimes when I'm talking to someone, I have a Bible with me. I usually carry one in my bag. Oh, well, I got a Bible here. Can you show me a contradiction? They don't know any contradictions. They just say that because they've heard it somewhere else. When you're talking to someone and they try and sidetrack you, stay focused. If they have a question, try to answer it honestly. And there's the hardest thing for some people to do. I can't tell you how many times I said, I don't know. But I'll look and talk to other people and get back with you. And then get them right back to that main topic again. Ask a question that points to the main topic. I'm going to give you an example of that in just a couple minutes here. Use tact and humility. There's nothing I personally dislike more than someone arrogantly showing me that they know more than I do. Doesn't bother me a bunch because I know I don't know anything. So probably 3/4 of the population know more than I do. No big deal. But there are ways to do things tactfully. What is tact? Getting someone to understand your point without making an enemy out of them. It's really all it is. Use humility. The opposite of arrogance. Adapt. In one church I was at, they had one specific method of going out to reach people. And if the situation was completely irrelevant to the way they wanted to do it, they just pushed right on. You have to adapt to what's going on. It's not hard. This one is an internal thing. Don't be disappointed if you share your story, share the gospel with someone, and they don't say, I want to get baptized. You've planted some seeds. Maybe an hour, a week, a month, a year, 10 years from now, someone else is going to come along in the Holy Spirit to say, now. And you played a part in that. You had that seed that was in there. This is important, I think, to everyone who ever goes out and shares the gospel. Learn from each experience. I talk to a lot of people that are either going to jail or have just gotten out of jail. We have a tremendous amount of homeless people where my store is. I go buy ice at between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning every day, and every day there is a homeless person that approaches me to do whatever. Sometimes I engage them, sometimes I don't. But in each encounter, I learn something else. This person didn't like this or whatever. If I would have said this, maybe it would have been better. And the next person comes up, he's basically the same. I've learned from the last one. Remember before I said there's people who believe the Bible and people who don't? Here is the only example I could come up with that would kind of relate to what we're talking about. You meet somebody. So what do you think of all this climate change talk? Oh, that's an opening for a lot of things. Because I think everyone has some opinion on it. When they give their opinion, listen to them. And this is hard without interjecting your own thoughts. Do this and pay attention. Then when they're done talking about it, a lot of times they'll say, so what do you think? Or you may be able to naturally say, well, that's a really interesting concept. I think the Bible agrees. And a lot of times they're like, really? Most people say that the earth is going to raised by 2 degrees centigrade or something like that, and it's going to wipe out so many thousands of species of whatever. Well, the Bible says that the climate's going to change. It's a little more severe than 2 degrees centigrade, though. 2 Peter. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That is climate change. In a big way. They'll probably start arguing with you about that. But it's a way to get the Bible infused into your conversation with climate change. That's what we were talking about today. There are so many ways to share the gospel. I don't want people to think that everything is going so bad. I believe everything is getting worse, and it will get worse. It'll be even worse than this. It's my own opinion. But we have the good news that everything will get better someday. I got a message just a couple of days ago. Last line was, "This too will pass," regarding a issue I have. And it's true. The world is going to pass. Sin is going to pass. Jesus is going to return. And justice will be done. We sang the song about how justice will occur and things will be made new. That is good news, even for people who think that we're killing the planet. The planet's going to make it. It might get burnt up before, but God says a new heaven and a new earth will be coming soon. Paul, in talking to, I think it was the Thessalonians about the rapture, ended what he was saying with, "Comfort one another with these words." We shouldn't argue about the timing of the rapture. We shouldn't argue about eschatology and when this is going to happen. When this, we should be comforting one another with the thought that Jesus is returning. We don't know when, but he'll be here. I hope that this week you will remember that. When you have an opportunity to share with others, just do it naturally. Use that favorite subject. Talk about yourself and what Jesus did in your life. And you can lead from that into the gospel itself. The Holy Spirit will do the work. You just have to be willing to open the mouth and the ears. Let's pray. Father, there's so many things wrong in our world today. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we're distraught over the evil that occurs. But Lord, we know that you are in charge. The evil that's done, the heinous crimes that are committed will receive your justice someday. Not a office in a city, not even the police and the Supreme Court, Lord, but you are the Supreme Judge. And so, Lord, we can stop worrying about those things. We can put them in your hands. And Lord, help us to focus on the main mission, going into the world, going into our neighborhoods, and sharing the good news, teaching people, baptizing people. Lord, it'd be wonderful if we would run out of space for discipleship classes because of what you've done in the lives of people around here. So, Lord, we just ask that you would use us, use those that may hear this online, to wake them up to the real reason that we're here, to give you praise, glory, to share your love with those that we meet. And Lord, help us to do those things. Open our eyes to those that are in need and allow us to see clearly with your eyes how we can bring you to them. We thank you for all these things. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.